Most people in Bloomington Normal know David Davis as the campaign manager for Abe Lincoln. Most know him as the guy who had a big mansion built on the Near East Side of Bloomington. You might even know Davis was a Supreme Court justice, but you probably don't know much about an opinion he wrote that still resonates today. It's called Ex Parte Milligan and deals with the question when civilian courts control trials and when military courts have control. There's a new book out on that case, ISU historian Stuart Winger, and Professor John White of Christopher Newport University wrote chapters and edited the book titled Ex Parte Milligan Reconsidered, Race and Civil Liberties from the Lincoln Administration to the War on Terror. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Milligan was a Copperhead Southern sympathizer in Indiana who was tried in a military court for fomenting insurrection and other acts when civilian courts were open, but sympathetic to the South. This happened in Southern Indiana, and he went all the way to the Supreme Court and won.
If you think about it within the context of the history of judicial review in the United States, there are only two other instances in which the Supreme Court struck down a federal law or federal action prior to this. One, of course, is the very famous Marbury versus Madison in 1803. The other is the Dred Scott case in 1857. So for the Supreme Court here to be striking down a federal action as the third instance of doing that sort of thing was a really big decision.
Well, the Dred Scott decision was known as a pretty horrible one, and it was later repudiated. How has Milligan stood the test of time?
For a long time, Milligan was seen as irrelevant. During Reconstruction, the Union Army tries another 1,000 Southern civilians in military tribunals up until 1869. It's not really until the War on Terror, I think, that people begin to look at Milligan with a new perspective. Congress was working actively to try to diminish the role of the Supreme Court in these kind of cases after the war, because they understood that you needed a strong military presence in order to enforce the rights of the newly freed slaves.
Did it have an unintended consequence that hurt freed blacks?
Yeah, that's one of the terrible ironies of the case, is that by diminishing the role of the military in the immediate aftermath of the war, it would take out of the hands of military authorities the ability to protect former slaves from their former enslavers. And, you know, the military could enforce Reconstruction and could enforce the protection of African-American rights. But once white Southerners regained control of political office in the South, they were going to ignore the rights of the formerly enslaved.
Stuart, the man who argued for martial law and for protection of freed African-Americans was Ben Butler. He's a guy who doesn't have really the best reputation as a Civil War general. He's sometimes called Beast Butler for brutal handling of Southern cities he occupied. Given what happened during Reconstruction to black people and how the legal system let white offenders skate free, should we think of Butler in a different light, as less of a ham-handed bungler?
Oh, I absolutely think so. But to rehabilitate Butler would be to rethink 20th century, early 21st century Bill of Rights, civil libertarian, constitutional thinking. What you have is war on terror. And in a terror situation, is a local jury adequate to deal with the problem? I think the Milligan case raises the basic question is which comes first, order or liberty? And I think it makes a powerful case that order comes first and that there's an underlying moral consensus masked by our liberal proceduralism. And when we disagree on fundamental underlying problems, a resort to procedure fails.
An argument for the preservation of order, though, is not always accurate. The Milligan case was ignored in the internment of the Japanese during World War II. It was just ignored, even though it was a precedent. How do you make sure that order is not a sop or a false premise?
That is a great question. And I think the only answer is the answer Lincoln gave, because this is a republic. You have to elect the right people. And if you elect somebody who does not believe in ultimately in civil liberties, you're putting a gun into the hand of an incendiary. That may not be satisfactory, but not all problems have a procedural solution.
So Stuart Lincoln has the reputation of being fairly corrosive to civil liberties during the war, suspending habeas corpus and having military trials, in jailing journalists. you're saying he was right here.
Mostly I am. Yeah. I think that, what we've forgotten and what's read out of our Civil War histories is a remembrance at all of the Copperheads. So what we forget is they depopulated cities like New York of black people by the, draft and race riots of 1863. The Civil War was also an internal war within the North, and that's utterly forgotten. I don't think without understanding that, you can't even understand why Reconstruction failed. Why did the North seemingly abandon black people to the white South after the war? Well, 70% of the Northern electorate is pretty deeply racist. I think that's fair to say. And they're so racist that they're willing to burn down orphanages with black children in them. I mean, that's what happened in New York. So that's what Lincoln's up against. And I think if you are naive about terror, and what human beings will resort to in terror, that's a serious mistake.
John, how should we consider Milligan in talking about the war on terrorism's effect on civil rights?
Well, one of the issues that's come up in the war on terror is that American citizens have been arrested and held indefinitely, or I think tried before military courts. And there are very deep and important questions involved in this about the rights of American citizens, or also the rights of any person under the Bill of Rights, because the Bill of Rights, when it speaks about the rights guaranteed in a criminal trial or in other cases, those apply to any person in the United States. The Milligan case is really important for thinking about how we deal with those cases. If we abide by Milligan, then we would say that the rights of accused terrorists or others, if they're American citizens, should be protected and they should get a fair trial in court.